Okay, this is Pure Decking number 7, I think, and well, it's Tuesday, whatever. And TAC, Patient Zero, was very, very kind to send us a remix of Pure Decking just for the intro of this show. I don't know why, considering how bad the last show was, but he felt we needed it, so let's try not to screw this one up. But very cool, he sent us a very, very nice remix, so... Anyways,
thanks, man.
I've got with me Suave, BSV, and Heavy. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello.
Yep. So, anyways, you guys were talking about... I've got a big topic I'm going to launch into, but let's start with this because I don't know anything about it. You guys were talking about the indie bundles, the Humble Indie Bundle?
Yeah, well, this one, they're actually calling it the... Oh, hold on.
Frostbite?
The Humble Frozen Bite Bundle.
Oh, Frozen Bite.
I'm guessing the end of the winter deal or something like that. Yeah, they've got 5 games on this one. You've got Train, which is a really awesome platformer.
Oh, Train. Yeah, I've got Train.
Yeah,
Train, there you go.
Haven't picked up the bundle yet, but yeah, Train is a very... good game in itself.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got Shadow Grounds, which is similar to that Alien Swarm game that Valve released a while back. It's kind of a top-down, killing aliens on a space station kind of deal, which looks pretty good. You've also got Shadow Grounds Survivor, which is, I'm assuming, the sequel to that. Both which got pretty decent... reviews. There's Jack Claw, which I haven't actually looked too much on that one, just because they say they require that you have the Xbox 360 controller to play it. They will be adding support for mouse and keyboard, but it's just not there yet.
It's a prototype game right now. They couldn't finish it in time, so it's here you can play it, but it's not fully working yet. But,
yeah, it's kind of like the Minecraft deal. Like it's probably in beta at this point.
But why would you design a PC game and only control? I'm lost here. Why would you start with the Xbox controller? That's like ass backwards compared to how every other PC game is made.
Yeah. But some games, I don't know about you, but some games work better with a controller, like dual stick shooters.
Yeah, it doesn't really look like it's a first-person shooter.
Now, platformers, I will admit, platformers, and this probably has something to do with me growing up on freaking Nintendo, but platformers are better with the controller, but I cannot do shooters on a controller. I've got to have my keyboard and mouse.
From the look of it, doesn't look like a shooter at all, so I'm guessing it's a platform by the picture of the
It is in a true 3D world, but it's definitely not a first person. The last one is Splot, and that actually looks like a Super Meat Boy clone. So it's another platformer, but it looks pretty good.
Okay, I haven't been following the indie bundles. I knew about them, I heard about them, I saw the links to them, but I basically went, oh, okay, games, whatever, and kind of went on with my life. I actually don't get to play games nearly as much as I used to, which is unfortunate. But, what's the deal with these things?
Basically, the way it works is you've got generally a couple of companies will release some games in the bundle, and you can pay whatever you want. You can pay 1 cent, you can pay $1,000, doesn't matter. And they also give you basically these sliders where you can determine what percentage of how much you're paying is going to who. So you've got the guys who are actually hosting the bundle. You've got a couple of charities, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, as well as the Child's Play charity, and then whatever the developers are. So so you can have $3 go to one, $3 go to another, and six to the next sort of deal.
Well, I really like that concept because that's something I'm working on G15 because we're going to pull in content from a ton of different places. And, of course, everyone doing open source content puts out the PayPal donation box. So mm-hmm. It's in progress because the whole station's still got hung up because fucking real life. But, as soon as I get back to it, we're going to get the station up and going. And that's something I'd like to explore is how do I manage the fact that I'm pulling in content from all over the place and everyone's got their donation box out and making it so if you just want to support one show or if, the whole thing or what. So
that's cool. I like that. But they're wildly successful when they do this. This one's been running for just under, I think this was a 24-hour sale, and they've already pulled in $270,000.
Nice.
And counting.
Well, just to be sure, so you said you can name your own price. Could you put in free?
I believe so. I could be wrong. I've never actually tried. I've always given them some money.
Toasty!
Somebody's going to have to try that out and report back.
I mean, it's not. I'm not saying you shouldn't support the indies. I'm just curious because, people don't always have a lot of money laying around.
Oh yeah, for sure. So. But if you can't afford $1, odds are you probably shouldn't be going and getting a bunch of video games. You should be maybe trying to get some money.
Get a job.
Yeah.
Fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this concept, and I've seen it. Yeah, I mean, we've seen it in other things too. Artists giving away their albums or selling them for whatever you want to pay for it. And I think this model works for the concept of, well, I'm small, but I want you to know about me, so here's my product, and then it creates a little bit of buzz. But again, we had more who just said, interesting news bulletin, and continued on his way. So it's going to.
Go ahead.
Require a little bit of activism on the part of the folks that really dig this stuff to get out there and say, hey, man, you want to play this game? This is awesome.
Yeah, like I said, I just saw on Game Bundle whatever and just kind of went on. But, I could see, gamers, I used to be a pretty hardcore gamer. I used to go to LAN parties. In fact, the main laptop I do to the show used to be my main LAN party rig. It's a gaming laptop, which is why I'm able to pull off so much with it. But, in fact, you want to talk about dirty looks people give you when you show up at a LAN party with a laptop. And you just flip it open, and then it's like, oh, shit, Andy's running the games on it. And people just, they hate you. Because everybody else drug in desktops so they could play.
Yeah.
Most people can't game on their laptop for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. But, I've so gotten away from games that, when I see, Game Bundle, whatever. So,
I've always been totally happy with all of the bundles I've gotten from them so far. The great thing about these indie developers is they're always coming up with new types of games, where you're not just stuck with a standard first-person shooter or anything like that. So it's sometimes pretty refreshing getting into some of these. One other thing I wanted to mention was Koryu Doctorow was one of the trailblazers for this sort of pricing scheme. I can't remember the name of the book, but he ended up releasing a book where instead of pay what you want, it was actually a bunch of different tiers. So, you can go download it for free. You can get a paperback for $10, hardbound for $20, and then it goes up. Then he's got the signed hardbound for $50, and then, all the way up to him personally delivering it to your place in a limousine for, I think it was $50,000 or something like that. And, the people had actually purchased all different price points, and he made more money with that book than any of his other books in the past.
Well, and that's, we'll get into this more when we start talking about the iPad, but something I have really noticed is that the traditional publishing and content management models that, we used to have, which, of course, everybody who's on the internet knows this, they're dead. They're totally dead. I mean, digital distribution is obviously killing most of this stuff, but you don't have to go through a publisher anymore, and people like Doctorow are proving that.
Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. I haven't read it, but I've been meaning to.
Yeah. A really cool thing is his latest edition of that, he's actually putting, like, some of his own personal paraphernalia in there. If you buy the hardbound, he actually is binding some of that stuff in there with the books. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, he did a really cool thing with that. And I'd really like to see a lot more content creators doing that sort of thing, because they're not having to give up like 60% of their profits to the publishing company. Sometimes like even way more than that.
Yeah.
Well, I just listened to Twit, and we had Jerry Pournelle on, and he was saying that his daughter wrote a book, and admittedly she based it off of one of his books, but she, you know, you sell a, he was saying that if you sold a book for $3 or less on Amazon, you got 30%. If you sold it for more than $3, you got 70% of the revenue. And he said that, you know, all you need to do is go out there and sell 10,000 copies of your book, and you're doing damn good, you know? And that's the point. So digital distribution is easy. And now you've got all of these little print-on-demand and publishing, you know, printing companies that are trying to stay in business. Now you can do really cool stuff for your fans. You can be like, wow, you know, here you go.
Like, hard copy definitely still has its place.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying it's going away. But the nice thing about what we're seeing happening in media is the need for the dynamic. Yeah, I've invented a new word. So we're going now calling them the dynamic publishing companies, as opposed to gigantic. You don't need them anymore. And, you know, their entire business model has been obsoleted by, you know, Apple and Amazon and Google, of all people.
But, exactly. Portable devices make it so convenient to read in bed now, you know, that you don't have to worry about having a laptop or, you know, anything too. So you got your iPads and your tablets and other stuff.
Notice the first thing he went with that was in bed. Read a lot of fortune cookies heavy? Anyways.
Yeah.
But the point I was going to get at was you don't need – that's actually – and I'm serious about this, partly because I'd have to deal with DMCA complaints. But other – because why do you think I'm working on Galaxy 15? I'm actually trying to make a free and open content radio station because I honestly think it's better. It's the old publishing models are not necessary anymore. They're really not. So you don't have to sign these ridiculous contracts, and you can publish direct to your fans. Sure, you might not have the same quality as a full studio, but you know, when you get big enough, you can afford that kind of stuff. So I don't. And there's lots of bands and lots of groups out there trying to do this, and that's, you kind of need curation, which is what I'm trying to do, but I'm not actually sure where I'm going with this other than saying, yeah, fuck the publishers. But
well, and that's the other thing, too, is prices become so little. You know, all you need is knowledge, and then, you know, we get into the topic we discussed last week, which is education. But equipment is cheap and plentiful, and here's a pro hit hint that we've given out before, especially Morps, go to your hawk shops, your resale stores, and get your equipment, your first batch of equipment there for cheap, because it's probably professional grade and it's going to be cheaper. So there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, get on eBay. You can get on eBay with $300 and get enough to run a studio, and that's including like an older, small laptop, a microphone, and a mixer. Easy, under $300.
Yeah.
And whereas it might not be the greatest looking stuff in the world, might be all banged up or whatever, but, you know, as long as it works, you load up Ubuntu Studio, which is something I've played with. It's a nice package, or any Linux. Hell, XP if it's an old enough laptop or whatever. And, you know, you've got a studio, practically.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm working on a green screen for the agent. I'm into this thing for about $30. I mean...
Oh, yeah, it's definitely not expensive to create content anymore. And even if you want to do like high definition and stuff like that, like do some really high quality, you can get yourself relatively kitted out for under $1,000.
And technically, you could actually do now with the iPad too, and or the new version of iOS, you can actually do production on your iPad. Could probably do the whole shebang on that. So
well,
you could even get out.
You are limited to the 16 gigs of storage and everything. Which
well, you can get them with the bigger storage. But
yeah, but I'm assuming working with big media files over the network on an iPad is not going to be the
I don't think that's going to be the way.
Well, I'm not saying you're going to be doing high definition video editing, but if you just want to get in the base level and do podcasting and standard definition video, you should be all right.
They've got all that on there for the iPad. I was looking at some of that, and I was going to save the whole iPad stuff for the second half of the show after the break, but I wouldn't go the iPad route just because they are expensive, but if you're wanting to get set up and kitted, like Suave said, you can probably get really close to professional gear for less than a grand these days.
Yeah.
And,
Fire Studio costs, $500? You've got your preamps and your mixer boards and everything, and then you get yourself a nice microphone for, a couple $100. And then a laptop for, $300, and you have exactly a professional grade mixer board and, computer and everything.
It's not even that expensive, dude. The microphone I'm using right now, I bought broken from a secondhand store. It was $30. This is a professional stage mic. It was broken, but all it was somebody had twisted the top of it, and the wiring on the pill had gotten twisted off. It literally took me 2 minutes with a soldering iron, and the microphone was in perfect shape. I mean, I'm talking on it now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to set yourself up, what you need is time and a little bit of... I mean, hell, just Google. There's plenty of people out there that have written up how to do this. Now, what I'm doing is a little bit on the out there side, and I've had to cobble some stuff together, but... I'm working on improving that, and as soon as we get the scheduler updated and up and going, I'm going to take the station 24/7 as opposed to just sporadic broadcasts, and I'm working on building a library of free music and content right now. So, in fact, anyone listening to this, I've already got some stuff, but email me, morps@agentparanoia.com, and that's spelled, it's agent-paranoia is the domain. But if you email me there, any, free open content, I've got a lot already, but, good stuff. And don't do the obvious stuff. Don't send me Tales from the After Now. Don't send me Twit, because I'm not going to carry Twit. Don't send me stuff I can't carry. There's a lot of podcasts out there that are great, but they put a lot of copyrighted material in their stuff. And I don't have a problem with people copywriting their stuff. I really don't. But I don't like the licenses they do it under. So I want what you would generally consider to be a free license, something I can rebroadcast it without getting the pants sued off of me. So, in all seriousness, and I need to do that. Either tonight or tomorrow, we'll put a feedback form on Galaxy 15. And speaking of that, I actually went on Vistaprint and ordered a whack of business cards for Galaxy 15 since we're going to Gen Con.
Okay.
Oh, so that, and I'm probably going to be dropping them in geocaches.
Nice.
But,
excellent.
Yeah, so and that gets back to, I think, the general topic, which is where we started with the games, which is the free and open source thing. We're encouraging people to make their own content. This is not exclusionary. This is inclusionary. Everybody should feel free to get out there and do something. I mean, even if you just have a cheap digital recorder and you're going to go to the library and upload it on a free site like YouTube or whatever, I mean, you can do real cheap if you want.
Suave, you do – okay, guys, seriously. Suave, you do tons of shows for with us. What do you use? Right now, what are you talking to us on?
Oh, some crappy Logitech USB headset.
And just any old computer you had laying around.
Well, yeah.
Fair enough, right? So I'm not picking on you. I'm making the point that you can do this with bare minimums, and Suave does a lot, and it's fine. So
there's always room for improvement, but just to get started out, it's not difficult.
Actually, speaking of the free content, if somebody wants to do a show, I'm not terribly particular about topics. If you want to do politics, I probably won't be on it with you. But if somebody wants to do a show, I've got plenty of open slots on the radio station. All seriousness. So yeah. I thought about going to Method and be like, yeah, do you want to do a show by yourself? Because I know you could, but I don't think you'd be regular enough.
Right. So, that's kind of cool. I was actually listening to a statistical video, and I forget where I got the link from, but the guy was basically talking about the poverty level increasing and stuff, and this is what it's going to take if people are going to be poor, is that you're just going to have to make your own content and then distribute it, you know, amongst your, even if it's just amongst your local communities. Definitely get out there and do that.
But it's something else you can do too. Now, don't plan on this. I'm not planning on this. But I've done the math of what it's going to cost me to run this radio station, okay? And yes, there is eventually going to be a donate box on G15. I'm not there yet, and I'm not going to put it up there until I'm comfortable putting it up there, and I think we're putting out something worth supporting. But when you do open source content, if you do like music production, you can put up on like a Bandcamp. Is that what Patient Zero uses?
Yep.
Yeah, Bandcamp, and put up there, you know, and people will actually pay for it if it's good. So if you're making music on the side in your spare time, and just because you enjoy doing it, just because you enjoy making the content, which is why we do this, by the way, I'm not getting paid. It's costing me money. I'm doing this because I think it's fun. And you know, if you put that up, you can make a little bit of pocket change on the side. I'm going the do-it-yourself route, which is why it's actually costing me money. But we could be doing this for free right now. We're not, because I'm insane. But you know, I mean, there's plenty of stuff out there. There's the YouTube. There's the what's the thing Lore was using for his Cure Studios?
Oh, Blog
Daily?
TV.
Blog
wasn't
TV.
It?
There's of course the Justin TV. You can even get free streams. I think it was Live 365 or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you want to do this on somebody else's dime and just don't mind the ads, you can do it.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And actually, YouTube even shares some of the profits with you if you do have ads on your site and you sign up.
A lot of them do. I think Blog TV does as well.
Well, hell, Google AdWords. Just, you know, go get you a free, you know, go to WordPress.com, set yourself up a blog, throw AdWords on it. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's not difficult. Yeah. It's just, you know, I personally don't like ads online. They're generally too obtrusive. Like, maybe a little text ad off on the side, that's fine. But anything else, and most of the sites now, even YouTube now, is getting kind of obtrusive with, like, pop-ups and ads that they force you to watch. Like, you can't skip or anything like that. More often than not, I'll just close the window and forget about it if I have to, like, sit down and watch a video.
Pre-roll ads, yeah.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
So, you know, I couldn't expect any of our listeners to go through the same thing, you know. That's not cool.
You know, and that's true, and banner ads don't pay enough to make them worthwhile putting up anymore.
Well, that's why I'm saying do it on the side. Don't count on this as, like, a day job.
Yeah.
Although if you are unemployed, you probably can sit there and scream at a microphone long enough to, well, I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure. It's all about just putting in the work. You know, you could be talking about anything, and there's enough people out there online that you'll find listeners. It's just a matter of putting in the footwork.
Yeah. Actually, I've read some articles by some guys that claim to be pro-bloggers, which I find to be hilarious, by the way. But what they do is they set up like 20 blogs on various subjects, and they make sure each one gets a post every day, and that's their job. And then they live off all the ad revenue. And, you know, because, of course, these sites will be loaded down. These are the blogs you go to where, you know, they've got the Google AdWords on the one side, they've got the pop-up ads on the top, they've got the big ad in the middle, they've got, you know, those double underlined links that open up new windows. God, I hate those. You know, these are the ones that'll have the talking ads that, you know, you open the window, especially if you're at work, right, and you're trying to research something, you open the window, and it's like, right. Hi, you've won a free trip to this sex site. And it's just like, great. Absolutely fucking wonderful. So,
oh, yeah. And you know, like, there's never really any content on those sites. It's always just useless junk.
They pretty much just hit whatever the main story is every week, and then that's it.
They're just doing search engine optimization. They're not writing their articles to be informative or anything like that. They're just writing their articles based on popular keywords to get hits on the site.
Well, but if you think about it, that's their job. That's their business, is just to get a hit. The ad is shown. They've won. The moment you open the page, they have won.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they do it. You know, and they run 20 of the damn things, and they make enough to, you know, live off of, and they don't, they don't even bother with, like, getting their own internet connection or something. That's why you always see them in, like, Starbucks or the other places with free Wi-Fi, is because they don't want to pay for internet connection, so they just use somebody else's. You know, where I work, we see a lot of people doing stuff like that.
Now, there are some bloggers out there that do really good with very few.
Oh,
updates.
No, I didn't mean by all of them. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, I'd say those are the people who aren't good at making original content, and they're just gaming the system to get hits.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're actually funny and really, really good. Like, you know, for example,
definitely
a great example is 27feet/6.com. I'm sure everyone's heard about it. The guy who sent in the picture of a spider to pay a bill. He's had 71 million hits on his website. Just one guy making a post maybe once a month. You know, he's just wildly funny, and people like that.
Well, you know, and if that's all it takes to get people to go into your site, then that's awesome. But, you know.
And as our data clearly shows, humans cannot be trusted.
Cannot wait for Portal 2. On that note, we're going to go to break here. Well, it's a little early. You guys want to talk Portal 2? There's not really much to talk about except the promo videos.
Portal. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure just about all of us are going to disappear off the map the day that comes out.
Well, currently, you can preload it now. They've unlocked that.
Oh, it'll load up, but you can't actually play it.
Well, yeah, they unlock the game.
When's the release date?
Tuesday.
Oh, shit.
Also, yeah, exactly.
Good thing the station's not up yet. I've got an excuse. Nice.
What happened to the IHN crew?
They were never heard from again.
Oh, they're still offering the 10% off. Yeah. I think I'm going to have to pre-purchase that so I can have it downloaded and ready to play.
After the show, I'm going to hit the preload button and...
in fact, I might even try to book that day off work.
Wow.
Wow.
I've got ridiculous amount of vacation time that I need to use before I leave my job, so...
Priorities, man. God. Priorities.
Wait a minute. Why are you leaving your job, dude? I like jobs.
Yeah, jobs are good, but there's ridiculous amounts of jobs here where I live, so... And I don't like the community I'm living in. I'm going to move.
Oh.
So he's going to quit his job, he's going to play Portal, and then... We don't know.
And we prove it again. Robots are more efficient.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
I have too much fun with the GLaDOS laugh.
It's a good laugh. Yeah. And highly relevant.
Yeah. All right. On that note, I've got some Severed Fifth. We're going to play War from their album. I know they did a re-release and cleaned it up. I haven't had a chance to pull that down, so this is the older version. And we're going to go to break. Let me just mute the call here. Figure out how to mute the call in Skype. You'd think I'd know that by now. Here we go.
It eats away me. becomes masky. The engine's crying out on the hill. My mind is a place I can't unwind. The visions stand with me.
Okay, and ooh, that's a little bit better. Still trying to figure out what the hell happened. My levels got all kinds of fucked up, and I don't know what I did. All I did was reboot a few machines. So the Skype call should be back up, and hopefully I'm not blowing you guys out. I had the when I was playing the music there. I don't know what the hell happened.
Oh well,
but. Anyways, so we're back, and I kind of like Severed Fifth, but I'm not really a heavy metal guy. I mean, some, but not the death metal, certainly. So I don't know. Might stick with that, might not. But anyways, time to talk about toys, specifically tablets.
All right.
As I alluded to last week, I had an iPad coming, and I've now had it for an entire weekend. It's already jailbroken. Gee, what a surprise. And, yeah, I've actually been having quite a bit of fun with it. Surprisingly, I can actually type on the damn thing. So.
That's useful.
That's surprising. It's a touchscreen.
How fast do you think your typing is on that compared to an actual keyboard?
A real keyboard, I smoke what I can do on the tablet, but it's passable.
Right.
I mean, I certainly wouldn't be doing, like, full, you know, rant diatribes or heavy coding, but a light blog post or email, yeah, I could do it.
Fair enough.
Twitter, certainly. So.
Yeah, I can't get used to the on-screen keyboards, I need I got a little Bluetooth keyboard. It's about the same size as my Galaxy, maybe a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
And I find I can actually type way faster on that than even just with the on-screen keyboard with the 7-inch tablet.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I used to use a physical keyboard for my phones as well. And when I first went to touchscreen, was that a...
holy shit.
And the amount of time it took to get used to that. But once you do get used to it, it's not so bad. I'm still, on my phone, I still fumble around pretty badly, but it's big enough on the pad that you can actually it's not touch typing, although for some reason I have yet to comprehend on the home row, the F and the J keys, they drew in the little line. The little bump they put on those to let you know where the home row is? They drew it in. Why?
Oh, wow.
Why?
That's just
Just
sad.
To ignore people.
I guess. I mean, there's like absolutely no reason whatsoever to have that drawn in. And they did.
You mean you can't feel the color change?
Haptic feedback. Yeah, haptic feedback on the where your fingers are on the keyboard. That's what you need. So, but anyway, so I think it's pretty interesting. And the big point I wanted to bring up with it, with you guys about it, because we've all used PDAs, all of us. And the iPad is essentially a big PDA.
Yeah.
And but it's interesting because whenever I've had PDAs before, they've always felt like they were trying to be little computers, even the Palm Pilots, which the iPad, the closest argument you could make would be the original Palm Pilots, by the way. I mean, even the home screen looks the same. You know, just a row of icons. And but it doesn't have that same feel of trying to be a computer. Like all the old PDAs always did, especially the Windows Mobile ones. Those were the worst. As you know, because obviously the little handheld device could not keep up with a desktop PC, but they tried to look and feel like a desktop PC.
Well, no, to be fair, the Windows Mobile devices, they put the start menu at the top of the screen as opposed to the default bottom of the screen.
Do you know how many people I've seen who move their start menu to the top of the screen?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but...
If anything, put it on the left or the right.
Actually, on the new Windows 7, I always jam mine on the left. Awesome.
Right.
And it works great, especially because it's just the icons now. It's not the full menu bar, so it doesn't have to be real wide. But that's every time I sit down on a Windows 7 machine, that taskbar ends up on the left. And I actually have a hard time using Windows 7 with the taskbar at the bottom because of that. Sidetrack. Anyways, but this is going to sound so fanboyish and so stupid, but the old PDAs I've always messed with, I always felt real constrained. And obviously that was the limitation of the hardware, right? And so far the pad doesn't. Now that might just be because it's new. And because you've got so many people fawning over it that you're actually getting decent software for it.
Right.
And that's always been a problem with handheld computers is, you know, the amount of software out there just kind of sucks.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'd say the software is more important than the hardware itself because the hardware hasn't really changed all that much. Yeah, okay, we've got capacitive touch screens, and yeah, they've got a little bit more processor power. But you go like 5 years ago.
I think it's a little bit more than a little bit.
Well, yeah, but like you go like even 5 years ago, you were getting like 500 megahertz on a lot of some of the higher end PDAs and stuff like that.
Yeah, but man, I'm playing full on 3D games on this thing. Like,
oh yeah,
rivaling the old consoles.
I was playing 3D games on my Nokia N810.
Really?
Oh yeah,
I had an N810. I never got any games to run that well on it.
There's the Quake that you could play on there. There's the Doom clone that you could play on there, stuff
Doom
like
clone.
That.
Doom runs on freaking keychains.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, like, you still get 3D. And to be fair, like, the 3D that you're getting on these isn't any better than the original PlayStation.
It's about on par with the old PS1.
Yeah.
Well, it's somewhere between the PS1 and PS2. It doesn't quite look as blocky as the PS1 did.
It looks better because it's on a smaller screen than the PS1.
Well, that's a fair argument.
And the PS1 would have been on just standard TVs, which are, what, like 480 by 360? Isn't that what the standard definition is on an old TV?
Yeah, give or take.
Something like that. So, you know...
Well, no, the iPad... I mean, these things have a higher resolution than that.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, that's why I'm saying it's looks a little bit better, but... As far as the quality of the polygons, everything, number of polygons, textures, that sort of thing.
Yeah, the polygon count is low. But, I mean, graphically, just to look at it, I would visually just compare it to, like, a PS2, actually.
Right.
So, I mean, you want to talk raw numbers, you're probably right about it being closer to the PS1. But, and I don't know.
But regardless, it's still... definitely playable. Like there's some great games for it and everything.
But it doesn't feel like this constrained thing. Like I mean I've used PDAs from the Palm 3 up through the N810. In fact, the N810 was the last PDA I had before I got the iPad.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, and this is the first one that really doesn't feel like it's trying to be the N810 was probably worse of this than any of them because you know it almost felt like a full Linux computer. It was so close.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was so close. But it just didn't have the horsepower to really pull it off, and so you got these strange slowdowns and lags. And the iPad has those, too. Don't get me wrong, but...
The biggest problem with the N810 is, you know, I never really ran into many processor limitations just because there wasn't really any software.
You know, there wasn't much to do with the damn thing.
Yeah.
Although, I have to say, in fairness to the N810 was the first PDA I ever used. Well, the Nokia 7, was it 770? Was that the first one?
Yeah, I think so.
That was the first one I had, and then I went to the N810. But both of those had outstanding web browsers for what they were. That was the first time I'd ever seen a pocket device with a full web browser in it.
Yeah.
And it did something that the iPad can't, which is play Flash.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand. That's the dumbest thing. I mean, Adobe wants to put Flash on these so bad, and Apple's just saying no. It's political.
We all know why. It's because they want people to go and buy apps from the App Store, not play them for free online.
No, that's true.
That's what it comes down to, because, you know, there's all these Flash games and everything like that out there that they could be getting for free, or, you know, but...
Hell, there's plenty of free stuff on the App Store.
Oh, yeah, but the number of free apps on the App Store isn't that high compared to alternatives.
Oh, yeah, no, if you could just load up Newgrounds and go to town, you'd be... I mean, that'd be it, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's my major prediction. Yeah,
no, that'd
it
be
is harder on the battery life. You know, you do it on an Android device, it's definitely going to kill your battery pretty quick.
But you should
have that option.
Okay, I've been playing with this thing, and I have literally played with this thing all day on the weekend. I got the battery down to 40%.
Right.
And at first I was like, man, the battery life on this thing is nuts, until I thought about it. The circuitry is probably about a third of the thickness of the thing. I'm sure the rest of the damn thing is battery.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure most of the iPad is battery.
Yeah.
So it's actually not that amazing that it lasts that long. But
it has the same circuitry as the iPhone, but it's, what, like 3-4 times the size?
It's got a better... Well, I think it's got about the same processor as the iPhone 4.
Yeah.
But it's pushing a larger screen.
Right.
And so I think they did something else to it. I don't know. Maybe that's why they pushed the iPad 2 so quickly, was to get a better processor than what was in their phone. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, hell, I got an iPhone 4 and an iPad now. I guess that makes me a Mac fag.
To get back to the Flash thing, they basically have been started putting out rendering engines for your code that will basically do it in both HTML5 and Flash. So, you know, people are starting to do code in HTML5, so that's not going to be an issue for too long.
True. Yeah. And actually, you can get, if you have a CS5, Adobe will let you import a Apple developer certificate, and it'll actually export a native Flash app. Now, the performance isn't so hot, from what I understand. But what I've actually been looking at is a programming library called Flixel, and they're working on porting that to Xcode, like, now. And actually pretty far along. So if you write a Flash game in Flixel, apparently porting it over to Xcode for an iDevice is, like, not hard.
Cool.
So that's definitely something I'm interested in.
Yeah, that'd be huge. You know, and that's where it comes down to is slowly but surely they're hammering out a much better general standard for the web, which should be nice. So provided they do actually keep their goal of making sure that everything is Creative Commons open source stuff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, you know, it's never going to be that, but somebody will come up with something that'll be, you know, an offshoot that'll be close. But
well,
anyways,
go ahead, Evie.
I was going to ask you about the iPad and what are you running on there that you needed to jailbreak or that you have been using since you've jailbroken it? What's your most common jailbroken app?
Well, there's two. The big one is Retina Pad, and what that does is, because the iPhone 4 has that Retina screen on it, or, well, they call it the Retina screen, but it's, you know, the higher resolution screen. So a lot of your phone apps have two versions, one in the scaled up resolution and then the classic resolution. But not a lot of your telephone apps have iPad native resolutions. No, I've not been drinking. But for some reason they'll redo it for the new phone, but they won't do it for the pad. And that's because a lot of them, they'll tack HD on the end of the app name and try to get you to buy it again for the iPad version, which is annoying. But Retina Pad, when you run the application, tricks it into using the iPhone 4 scaled up resolution. Now, it's not a perfect fit. You still get some black borders, but it looks like 20 times better than the old iPhone resolution scaled up. It doesn't look nearly as blocky, and a lot of your menus and stuff look better, and you get the better keyboard. So That's probably the most common one I've used. After that would be Metasploit.
Okay. Nice.
So maybe Nmap coming in at a nice close third there.
Cool.
So it might be a toss up between Nmap and Metasploit, but that's just me.
Now, what's that running on Wi-Fi? Is that just a BG radio, or does it do N?
You know, I don't know. Let me see if I can figure that out real quick. Swalf, say something poignant where I mess with menus on this thing.
Well, going over to the Android devices, you know, like we were saying before, the whole applications and the software available for it really makes a device. And that's what essentially made me choose Android, because, you know, there's other options coming out. But, the Android store has the most free apps available. A lot of the apps that are available for free on Android, you actually have to pay for the iPad. So, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer for me in that situation. They both pretty much do the same thing. And the interfaces are quite similar. If you really like the iPad interface, you can actually just go mod Android to work like the iPad if you want. I think there's actually even some iPad themes for Android, so you can get it right down to the button. When it comes down to that, it's really just you want more apps.
Well, and it does come to some of the other stuff too, which is you can get things that they won't allow into the Apple Store.
Porn.
And so,
porn.
Well, VLC. You can get a decent media player that to handle most of the codecs, but you know, again, they won't let it into the Apple Store, and that's a simple thing. Also, it's cheaper to develop because it's free. You know,
right.
If you go to Apple and you want to actually put something in the store, it costs you $200 a year.
Well, for Android, you're basically developing in Java, and for Apple, you have to learn Xcode, which is, you know, or Objective-C, which almost nobody but Apple uses. So, and the format's completely different because I've looked at it. Java is fairly standards-based. I mean, if you've seen one object-oriented scripting similar language, they've all got that C++ style look to them. Whereas Objective-C, everything is completely different. And I'm convinced Apple changes shit just so it's different. Not because it's better or worse. Just so it's different. And, you know, so they can claim it's better for one reason or another. But, anyways.
Right.
I think it's, just to answer your question, I think it's just Wi-Fi G.
Okay. Which is fine. I mean, that's cool.
I don't really see you needing Wi-Fi N speeds on a tablet.
Well, it'd probably drain the battery a hell of a lot faster.
That's true. Yep. So that's one of the reasons. You know, get back to the languages. I think that's why even Apple is pushing for the HTML5 standard, because you know they probably want. And I know they will put a proprietary hook in there because that's just Apple. But they want anybody to be able to program for their stuff, so they can have, you know, 2 billion apps and claim that they have more apps than anybody.
Well, it is interesting the way they filter the store, because they're almost. Actually, the better comparison to it is they're not trying to be a small computer. They're trying to be a small console.
Yeah.
The iPad is really trying to be more like, you know, your PlayStations and your Xboxes and your Nintendos than it is trying
to
be a computer.
The pad beats out any of those handheld devices, the PlayStation Portable or the Nintendo DS or any of that.
Nintendo still has a lock on the most handheld devices of any manufacturer sold.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
by a lot.
Yeah.
I'm just saying for the quality of the experience, maybe not the new ones that they're putting out on Android phone, because they're just making the software patch now for Android.
You know, to be fair, gaming without buttons is not as good as playing with controls. Like, now, to be fair, there are a lot of games that are designed for a touchscreen, like Angry Birds, a lot of other games like that, where the touchscreen is good. But any sort of platformer or racing game or first-person shooter
you
really need buttons.
You can even order stick-on buttons to go over the spots on the touchscreen where the buttons are. And I'm probably going to, because I'm having a hard time playing some of these games with the thumbs.
Yeah, I'm actually going to order that for my Galaxy as well, just because it's really, when you're doing emulators and stuff like that.
Oh, I can imagine.
yeah, it just makes it a lot better. Now, it's still quite playable and quite fun. I've been getting back into a lot of the games I used to play on the Sega Genesis, which is just great. But
Sega Genesis, yeah, I was getting ready to play the Mario Sin again, so you've been hearing a lot of this. And
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but your skill level in those games is dramatically lower. Like, there's one game I was playing, what was it called? Doesn't matter. But there's a jumping puzzle where you end up having to push, like, you know, up and left at the same time while pressing jump. And when you're doing this on a touch screen, even though it's multi-touch, you can pull it off, but without physical buttons, it's next to impossible. And it took me a good hour to get past a spot that should have only taken me a minute, just because of that. Yeah, exactly.
But I can just see doing the finger gymnastics there, trying to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
but you know, when games are designed for the touchscreen, it's a great, great experience, and it's very intuitive, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, something I've been playing with on the pad has actually been drawing, and whereas it's not pressure sensitive like a Wacom is, it's not bad. Sketchbook Pro is the app I've been using. Autodesk Sketchbook Pro.
Yep, I've got that on my Android.
And I'm horribly out of practice when it comes to actually drawing anything, but that's not bad. And especially because it's nothing just to reach down and start messing with the zoom and stuff. That's something that always killed me in Photoshop or even GIMP, was having to stop what you're doing, go mess with your tools, and then go back to it. And with this, you just put the other hand down and mess with it. It's like not even a thought. So it's interesting the way they've been programming everything to be fairly intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I really like the direction this is going. Like, we're going to run into the situation, I think it's been mentioned before, where the majority of computer users aren't actually going to have a computer. They're going to have a console-type device, like the iPad or an Android device or something
like
that.
It's already the case in China. Most people access the internet via their smartphone, or even just a dumb phone, really.
China?
Yeah, actually all over Asia.
Yeah.
You've got the vast majority.
Because I heard it was that way in Japan, too.
India is actually just a feature phone country for the most part. Very few of them have smartphones. So,
well, you know, you come into a lot of issues too, like when you're like in a third world country or anything like that, where you know, power requirements. You know, there's people who have mobile devices that don't even have electricity at their home because it's easy to just go charge up your battery and away you go.
They have charging stations. You just go in and pay a couple of, you know, what, rupees or whatever, and just charge your phone there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so, you know, and wireless infrastructure is so much cheaper to put in than actually running the copper.
And absolutely.
The way some of our landline ISPs have been running here lately, AT&T putting in their bandwidth caps, everybody else putting in their caps and not wanting to upgrade their infrastructure, I think we're going to see more people going just with the – in fact – I went with my sister into Verizon the other day because she's ready for a new phone. She was looking for those. And so I was helping her out, and we went into a Verizon store. And this is, you know, they've picked up the iPhone. They've got all the Android stuff in there. And the sales lady who was helping us, helping her look at phones, and she didn't end up buying any phones yet, but, you know, she was trying to figure out what her options were. She kept, I mean, really pushing. It's like, oh, do you have internet at home? And it's like, well, yeah, I've got a laptop. And it's like, oh, well, you know, you could cancel your internet and get a tab and go with our 4G. And was really pushing, like, the Galaxy Tab and even the iPad as, like, a replacement to laptops.
Yeah.
So as opposed to even having, like, cable internet and a PC, now the big push is going to be to have, you know, one of these tablets and just cell phone.
Right. And, you know, like, I'm totally sold on the small form factor devices, but I really need the power of a full-fledged PC.
You're talking to somebody sitting in the command center here with the five screens around them and the iPad and the phone and three more laptops in the closet that are going to be getting the server treatment before too much longer.
But again, we're moving in the TV direction, too. I mean, they're basically installing a decent OS into the TVs now and putting access to, you know, whatever things you might need on it. So you're going to have your big screen experience too. I bet you'll get wireless keyboard and mouse, and you'll be able to do web browsing on these things before too long. So it's coming.
And you know, you're going to run into app stores and stuff like that for televisions. You know, I'm pretty sure Apple TV has that already, or whatever they call that. I think Google attempted it, but I think that was somewhat of a flop. I think they just didn't do the marketing. It was a great concept, and there was a lot of cool things that they could have done, but it just never got picked up.
I just think it's because the TV manufacturers don't really care. They have their own stuff already. You know,
yeah, that's a good point.
So, why would I put your product on my TV when I can sell apps through my own, you know, store? So
and you know, like, Android is basically marketed to the geeks and the tech-savvy type people. And most of those people have a full-fledged PC hooked up to their TV already. TV box isn't going to be all that useful for them.
Yeah.
We're
coming up on time here, though, so I'm just going to give BSV the last word, and then we're going to cut the show.
I have to say something now. Dang it, I didn't sign up for this. Sorry, I had to take a call in the middle of that, so I didn't really listen to the last chunk.
I just thought these other two yahoos weren't giving you a chance, so I was like...
No, phone rang.
Fair enough. So I'm now going to mute the Skype call, start up our closing music, and much, much better than last time, guys.
We'll be right back.